The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look for you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace, we may walk in your way through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 146 responsively. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God,
who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promise forever,
who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God is Zion throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Have you caught a cold yet this season? Have you caught the Christmas spirit yet this season? There's a lot of both of those viruses going around these days, and they're both highly contagious. We can protect ourselves from the flu and cold kind of virus if we wash our hands a lot and if we stay away from people who are already infected, but it's almost impossible to avoid holiday-itis. We catch that virus by watching everybody running around frantically trying to get ready for Christmas and then trying to keep up with everyone. If your house doesn't look like one of those on Garrison Street, you kind of feel like the Scrooge. Years past, you made 10 different kinds of cookies. Well, this year, a few less. And you feel a little guilty about it. And even though postage rates have gone up, you still have a hard time trimming down that Christmas card list. Is it any wonder that we feel run down? You probably have a good case of holiday-itis, and we're watching, and that's how we caught it, by watching everybody else and thinking that we need to do what everybody else is doing. But the good news is that God knows how prone we are to catching that disease of watching others and trying to do the same. And God sent us a cure. One way to think is that Jesus is the doctor who comes to cure us. And that's true. Jesus is the divine physician. But it's also true that Jesus is like a good virus that we catch, that we want to imitate. In the reading from Matthew's Gospel today, Jesus says, "Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Why would anyone be offended by Jesus? I find that a curious statement. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. I think it's because Jesus doesn't do what we expect him to do. In fact, he ends up on the cross, forgiving his enemies, promising paradise to a sinner. Doesn't sound very Christmassy. John the Baptist was sitting in prison, and he's hearing all about what Jesus is doing and what he's not doing. Remember in the gospel last week, John told his followers, his disciples, there is Jesus, there is the Messiah. He is coming, and he's going to be carrying an axe, and he's going to chop down the trees that are not fruitful, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff and burn with unquenchable fire all of that chaff. And here's Jesus hanging out with the very people he should have been chopping down, forgiving sinners, letting prostitutes wash his feet, speaking words of forgiveness to those who repent. That wasn't the Messiah that John had talked about. He wasn't the Messiah that John expected. Jesus must have read a different script. He wasn't acting at all the way that John had prophesied. So John sends his disciples, and he asks, and the disciples ask. And if we're honest, we'll say that we ask too, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for another? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for someone else? Someone who fills our expectations. We all have expectations of the kind of Messiah that we want. Some of us do want that axe-wielding, chaff-burning, fire-and-brimstone-shouting kind of Messiah. Most often we want it for somebody else, but we like that kind of Messiah. We know exactly where we stand then. Some of us want a kind of Messiah who will champion our favorite cause, whether that's biblical inerrancy or global warming. We want a Messiah who thinks like I think, who thinks like we think. Some of us want a Messiah who is a good shepherd, who doesn't expect anything of us, only to hold us in his arms and assure us that we are loved. Now, all of those things are true, and all of those things are right. But sooner or later, the real Jesus comes and turns our expectations upside down. And we ask, are you the Messiah? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another? Jesus comes, the real Messiah, the real Jesus, and breaks out of that little box that we have put him into. And our personal expectations are turned upside down. Like John the Baptist, you and I are invited to watch and to see what Jesus is doing in the Bible and in the world today. We're invited to catch that Christmas spirit. We're invited to catch that virus that Jesus is. We are invited to follow the living Messiah, the true Messiah, to broaden our ideas and our expectations of who Christ really is. Advent is a time for us to focus, to pay attention to what Jesus is doing. It's time to wake up and catch the Jesus virus. You know, one way to catch a virus is to expose yourself to others who already have that virus. So search out opportunities to listen and to talk about the real meaning of Christmas. Hang out with people who have a relationship with the Messiah. And soon you'll find that you have been infected and inflamed with the power of Jesus, that you have that Jesus virus too. And you'll be a carrier. You can spread that infection to other people. That's not what we usually call the Christmas spirit, but it is the true spirit of Christmas. It's the spirit of Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus spread that virus, and he invited his disciples to watch and to do the same. Blind see, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. There's nothing quiet or serene, peaceful about that message. Neither is there fire and brimstone in that message. But it's the upside-down kingdom of Jesus Christ, and you and I are invited to be a part of that kingdom. Jesus is bringing new life, real life, to us right now. Sometimes we spend the Christmas season, the Advent time, like a history lesson. We look and say, I wonder what a worldwide census was like. What were the marriage customs in first century Palestine? What were the names of those three kings? Those are all interesting things, but that doesn't bring us to the truth, the real point of Christmas, the point of this Advent season, the point of this Christmas virus is, are you experiencing God being born in your life? I always want to have this Sunday, Advent Sunday sermon preached by someone who is pregnant, to be able to talk about the power, the experience of life growing inside. And as I look around, I don't see anybody who could preach today that from that standpoint. So we have to experience that in our own mind. The power, the life of God is growing inside of us. You and I are pregnant with the power of God, with the life of God growing inside us. Jesus says, I didn't come to fulfill your expectations. I came to bring you life. Can you feel that life inside you? Can you feel the power of God in you, in your own life? Jesus is always being born, because people are always being transformed. People like you and like me, transformed and made new, alive in Christ Jesus. John's disciples hear Jesus say, look around, and what do you see? Is the blind part of you able to see? Are the lame aspects of your life being brought to an ability to walk and maybe even to dance with joy? Is that dead part of your life being renewed and refreshed? Is there life now in what was dead in your life? That's how John's disciples knew that he was the one. And that's how we know too. We know because Advent is the time of stirring up the mighty power of God, that divine life that's in us, stirring it up. Every one of our prayers, these opening prayer on the Sundays of Advent, we tell God, not ask, tell God, stir up your power and come. Doesn't sound very Lutheran, does it? We don't say, please, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts. We demand, stir up your power and come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Do it now. Bring to life that life of you that's inside us. Bring it to birth. Advent is the time, an infectious time. that we come to know the real Lord Jesus. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you.